Well, hello there, and welcome to the AFA podcast, the official podcast of animationforadults.com. It's another interview special. This time I spoke with Hugo Bienvenu, French illustrator and animator, and director of the new French feature, Arco. Arco is doing very well on the award circuit and was nominated for a Golden Globe and 5 Annies. You can catch the film when it opens in cinemas in February in the United States and in March in the UK. In the meantime, why not check out my interview with Hugo? Here it is. Hi, Hugo. Welcome to the AFA Hello. Podcast.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for the time.
And just before we started, I just want to say that I really love the film.
Thank you so much.
It's really special. To start off with, how did you get started in animation?
In fact, it's kind of really early when I was, I think, 17 years old. Like I was in an art school in France, in which you can be, in which you begin at 40 or 15 years, you know, you're old, and then you specialized at 17 in illustration or animation, eh? And I did like I did both. I did animation and illustration, and yeah, it began like this, yeah. And I think also my mother, like when I was 4 years old or 3 or 4 years old, she made me do my first how do you do you know, book with
Book.
playbook,
Yeah.
yeah. So I think I kind of always had the animation in mind and always wanted to, since I saw Dragon Ball Z when I was 7, and I think I wanted to do to work on that field, you know.
What's the story behind Arco?
In fact, like I had done a comic book in called System Preference. And a lot of people wanted me to adapt. A lot of studios called me to adapt, and production companies called me to adapt this book. And I didn't want to go like four or five years again on this thing that had already taken me 2 years, you know, of my life. And also I was like kind of I wanted to bring something new, and because I think there are too much adaptation at that time. I was thinking that in cinema, and I was like, let's bring something new to the world. And the world wasn't going that well, and as a science fiction writer, it appeared to me that maybe the world was looking like this. It was in the 2020 with during COVID, like the world was a bad science fiction movie at that time. And I was like, okay, maybe we live in a maybe the period we live in is like this because, like, science fiction is in a way is responsible because she's spreading in the world ideas, and everything that we think of like happens in the world. And I said, okay, let's, if we want the best to happen, we have to imagine it first. And as a science fiction writer myself, I think I have a responsibility here to try to spread better things in the future so they can happen. And so these were the first thinkings. And then one day, like I was drawing, and a face came out of the sky. I was drawing, I drew a face coming out of the sky, and I traced colors behind him, and here it got, you know, here was Arco. And so I sent this drawing to my partner, Félix de Givry at Remembers. And he told me, "Oh, this with a small outline, like this is a boy who comes from the future, and he meets a girl who will help. He falls in this little girl era, and she will help him, like going back to his era." And he told me, "Oh, this would be a super feature films." And then we began working on it, and that was it. Yeah. Well, and then 5 years of working.
Did you develop the film's visual style?
But in fact, it's my style. I'm an illustrator since 15 years here in France. I work for I did a lot of comic books, like 10, I did also tons of illustration. For example, I draw also for Hermes. I draw scarves for Hermes. It's really my style, my way of drawing. So I didn't think it that much. I'm not fan of movies that do a lot of visual developments and that. I prefer films that are like super coherent in the, in their looking. And to me, the best way to be coherent is that just one person is in charge of the overall look, you know, which is me, because I think also as I'm the writer of the movie, I think writing and visuals are super related. And for me, for example, my ideas come my thinkings bring drawings, and my drawings bring script story, so it's all related. And if one thing wasn't in the system, it wouldn't work for me. It's an overall.
What were the main influences on Arco?
In fact, like saying like 2, 3, 5, or 10 would be a lie. Like everything influenced me, like life, the people in the street, people behaviors. Most of it is this. Maybe everybody that is in this library, but also everybody that is in the in the 2 or 3 ones that I have in the other room, you know. I have like thousands of books, comic books. I read a lot of novels. I mean, it would be, it won't. Yeah, I don't know how to say that, but yeah. And also I lived a lot in different countries like Mexico, Guatemala, Chad, China, America, and I think like all this mixed in me, and that's why my style is kind of worldwide also, you know, mix. And I think the only place I never went is kind of is Japan, but I think that's why also my style is like kind of in a way linked to that, because it felt so different to me than the rest of the world that I think also it struck me, you know. So I think my drawing is a mix of every like European drawers like Hergé, like and all the ones that we know, but there's also the American ones, because I was in Mexico and Guatemala and Akira Toriyama, which has been one of the biggest hits in my life. And then when like Miyazaki, because like when I was 14, it made me like draw again, and I wanting to animate. So, but I could say also, yeah, tons of people, like yeah, tons of writers of yeah. And for example, in movies, the one that impacted me the most are the movies that I saw when I was a child. So it was like Peter Pan, it was Pinocchio, it was Jumanji, Casper, The Mask, and I miss this cinema so much that I wanted to bring it back in a way to the world. You know, this kind of really well written, but at the same time, really like popular for everyone, and not just for a small category of persons. I really want to do movies for everybody. And yeah.
Is writing time travel particularly complicated? Do you have to do a lot of research, or do you sort of avoid the complicated stuff?
In fact, at the beginning, I was thinking, and we were thinking with Felix, my co-writer, that we were r writing a science fiction movie, and which is the case in a way. But in fact, at one time, it appeared to us that to me that and the all the producers were telling us like, oh, you have to explain how the time travel works, and I was like, this is impossible, and also it's not relevant. But at one point I told them, if you can explain me how your phone works now, I will explain you how the travel in time works. Nobody could say how their phone works. So I was like, yes. And In fact, it was hard writing the movie when I was thinking it was just sci-fi movie. But when I discovered that it was also a fantasy movie and that I could use fantasy like vocabulary, it went pretty easy. And I think also most of the time science fiction is sometimes boring because they try to explain everything while we don't fucking care about, the explanations. What matters is the emotions, and it's not the technical aspect of things, and to us, I mean, in if we were going back to Middle Age, with our phones, people would look at us like crazy, like wizards. But and every new technology looks magical. So we have to I think we have to not forget in science fiction to use the magical aspect of things, and yeah. And obviously, like, I think this is also why Marvel movies are now getting really boring since they brought the multiverse. It's because they spend 25 minutes explaining the technical aspect of things. And you're like, when is it gonna when am I gonna have emotions? When am I gonna feel things again, in your movie? And I think cinema is all about having emotions, feelings, and thinkings, and not technical things like doing an IKEA furniture,
Where did you set Iris's time in the future rather than have her live in the present day?
Because it helped me say, like, every to me, Iris's world is like our world now, but just I make things a little bit bigger than what they are now. I take all the embryos that I see in the present and make them a little bit bolder, bigger. And it helped me show like where we are going, and my only point as a writer or as a director is to say, we are going that way. Are we okay with it? This is my only like, engagement, I think. Like, and this is why I do things, is to say to my era's people, like, we're going that way, and I don't want to say what we should do, but I want to ask questions. Are we okay with this? Do we think we are losing part of our humanity going there, or gaining? And yeah, that's what I think also fiction is for, is to actualize the humanity to herself, and to remind her important questions in their life, in the audience life, to so they can walk in their lives like prepared for things and thinking about things. And also, like, I wanted to do a movie for kids that would look at them in the eye and never lying to them. And because these are the movies that I like Bambi, but I like emotions are muscles. Like, really, we have to train them. And if we don't train these muscles, like, our children won't be shaped for the world. And when a hard situation will come to them, they will fall in front of it because they are not prepared emotionally. And to me, fiction is really about that, preparing yourself to reality in a safe place.
How did Natalie Portman get involved with the film?
I was working on it like since 3 years, doing like storyboard and the script, 2 years and a half. We nobody believed in this movie in France, and because it was an expensive movie for French market, it was like it's crazy because in America the minimum budget is 10 times our budget, but in France it's like 9 million movies is the highest one. So I was like, nobody was feeling like strong, and also it was after COVID. It was during the strike of the writers in California, and yeah, it was super super hard. Nobody would invest on it, and nobody understood the script, in fact, and didn't n nobody knows how to write the storyboard. I had all the storyboard, so my partner and I decided to do an animatic. So we put it all our money, like personal money, like studio money, doing that small animatics. So I hired three persons with me and the musician, and we did like a rough animation of all the movie, and after of 50 at that time 50 minutes, and then we called our agent Jamil Shamsdin, which is the agent of Natalie Portman also, and he told he came and see the movie, and he said, oh, I think Natalie's gonna love it, and she just made a company, a production company, and I think she would be interested in co-producing it. So he called her, and one day after she was in the studio, and just after watching the first 50 minutes animation, like rough, she said, okay, what do you need from me? And since then we were like together in the production, and with Sophie Mas also. And yeah, and then also they helped us, like we were out of cash at that time. We had put it every all the money we had, so they put it their own money to finish the animatic, and then we got to finance to financing together, and yeah, trying to sell the movie to everyone. Yeah.
How involved were you with creating the English version? Were you involved with casting and stuff like that?
We tried to do exactly as we did in French version, like having fun doing it and trying to I don't know, to play with actors and really like using the word playing, you know, and I didn't want to copy paste the French version. I wanted to have to preserve the essence of the overall feeling of the movie. So in order to do that, we had to do it differently. And also I had like so many great actors that I wanted them to be as free as they wanted, you know, and to, because me as a creator, when people try to make me go in their own really specific way, I feel stuck, you know, and I don't deliver the best. So I was like, okay, you do it. Yeah, and let's play, but not like trying to and I mean to control them too much, you know, and I was okay, like I was prepared having something different, but to yeah to oh yeah but to kid to my sorry my kid did something in the next room, and yeah, I was prepared to have something different, but for the best. I prefer having something since the very beginning, think it's gonna be different, but it's gonna be, but allowing it to be better than wanting at the beginning to be it to be the same, and at the end having it different anyway, but not as you wish it, you know, and not having have had fun during the making, and yeah.
What do you hope audiences get out of Arco?
Well, I hope that Arco is just a platform for the audience to imagine the future they want to live in, and to make them go back to their imagination space, and you know, to their to they thinking the world again, and watching at it again in the eyes, and asking themselves, how do I want to live in that world, you know, and how and wanting also to create, to draw, to imagine, to have friends, to share, to love, and to, yeah, also a big thing of the movie, like materialized or embodied by this kind of last idea of, you know, the Arco's parents got old, you know, it's that us parents, we always say, oh, it goes so fast, but the kids never get it. They never get it, and I wanted them to feel it, to see it. Things go fast, and you have to enjoy with people you love, until until the end, and all the yeah. So I really wanted to make it strong in there, you know. So yeah, everything I just said, I wish the audience can bring it with her after the movie, and yeah.
Okay, I know we're getting short on time here, so I just want to finish with asking, do you know what you're working on next? Are you going to have more animated features in your future?
I have a the kind of half of a script, but I'm and also I have a lot of comic books right now, like but I'm not allowed to work because I travel so much, and I sometimes have 5 minutes for me, which I use to go to the bathroom. So yeah, no, now the time is really, it's really intense, and I don't have time to even draw. So I wait for for April, and yeah, the time, yeah, I wait for April. I can't wait to draw again, and to be able to read again, and to write again.
Congratulations on the film and thanks again for talking with us. It's been a really fascinating conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, hello there and welcome to the AFA podcast, the official podcast of animation for adults.com. It's another interview special. This time I spoke with Hugo Bienvenu, French illustrator and animator and director of the new French feature Arco. Marco is doing very well on the award circuit and was nominated for a Golden Globe and five Annies. You can catch the film when it opens in cinemas in February in the United States and in March in the UK. In the meantime, why not check out my interview with Hugo? Here it is. Marco is